it is good to worship the Lord.
1 Chronicles chapter 21, we continue our study in worship. The title of the message today is Worship is Imperative. Worship is imperative. 1 Chronicles 21, we'll begin reading in verse 18. Once you arrive there, would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? 1 Chronicles 21, verse 18. Therefore the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, that David should go and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David went up at the word of Gad, which he had spoken in the name of the Lord. Now Ornan turned and saw the angel, and his four sons, who were with him, hid themselves. But Ornan continued threshing wheat. So David came to Ornan, and Ornan looked and saw David. And he went out from the threshing floor and bowed before David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me this place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar to the Lord. You shall grant it to me at full price that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. But Ornan said to David, take it to yourself and let my Lord, the king, do what is good in his eyes. Look, I also give you the oxen for the burnt offerings, the threshing implements for wood, and wheat for the grain offerings. I give it all. Then King David said to Ornan, no, but I will surely buy it for full price. For I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings with that which cost me nothing. So David gave Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the place. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings and called on the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire on the altar of burnt offering. So the Lord commanded the angel, and he returned his sword to his sheath. That time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him on the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite, he sacrificed there. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow before you today as a people in need. Father, we need you. We need a revival in this nation, a renewed commitment to our faith. Father, we need you and the power of your Spirit to sweep through this church and through our land, strengthening those who place their faith and their trust in you, as well as drawing all men to you everywhere. Father, I pray that today you will speak to us through your word, that you will move us toward you, that, Lord, we may know you better and honor you through our worship as well as the lives that we live. Father, we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, what we're going to do today is we're actually going to kind of cover this entire chapter, but in the interest of time, I didn't read the entire chapter, but we're going to kind of back up. So leave your Bibles open there and verse 20 or chapter 21, because we're going to back up. But as I consider worship today, there are many different ideas of definitions of worship. There are times when we just worship because it's good to praise the Lord. And it's right to praise the Lord. Yeah. We come together, we sing, we pray, we honor God with our giving. And it's a good thing. But there are also times when worship is imperative. By imperative, I mean something that we need so badly, something that we've got to do. That's where David is in the text that we just read. There was a great need, And the only hope of seeing that need fulfilled was if God intervened. David was worshiping God because in his life and for the nation of Israel at that point, it was imperative because of the plague that Israel was dealing with. And to give you background, the reason Israel was going through this plague was because David had sinned. He messed up. Verse 1 says, "Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel." David had messed up under the influence of the devil himself. Now, if a man after God's own heart can fall prey to Satan, where does that leave you and I? Kind of leaves us in trouble, right? David fell prey to Satan, and David numbered Israel, or he commanded that Israel be numbered, take a census. God did not direct him to do so. And of course, that was a great transgression in the sight of God. And so God, in response to David's sin, sent a plague upon Israel. In this plague, it says that 70,000 men died. Israel was experiencing severe consequences because of David's sin. David sees this destroying angel that has gone throughout the land of Israel. And he sees this destroying angel as he arrives in the city of Jerusalem. And this angel is standing. David looks up and sees this angel standing between heaven and earth. And he has his sword drawn. And he's ready to take that sword and go through the city of Jerusalem, where once again many will die. And all of a sudden, the command comes from God. Stop. Restrain your hand. Verse 15. And that angel stops his destruction at that point, but he's still standing there ready over the city of Jerusalem, ready to execute God's judgment, waiting for the command of God. And so David is told by his prophet Gad that God has instructed him to build an altar and offer sacrifice on the threshing floor that is owned by a man named Ornan, the Jebusite. David knows he's in trouble. He knows he's messed up. And he now knows that his next move will determine God's next move. As I considered where David was in this event in the nation of Israel, I could not help but consider where we are as the United States of America at this point. We have been plagued by a virus. And whether you think there's a great conspiracy or whether you think it's political, it really does not matter. You cannot deny the effect that this virus has had on our nation. There are people who are sick. There have been people who have died. Some face financial ruin because it has wrecked the economy. Some are emotionally sick, afraid to leave their home. We've lost personal freedoms. It has had a terrible effect on our nation. It's bad. And I'm not talking about the disease itself. I'm talking about the consequences of the disease. The question has been, what do we do? We don't know how to handle it. Even medical professionals say, this is the first time we've seen this disease. We don't know how to handle it, so we're doing the best we can do. And they offer suggestions like, stay 6 feet apart. That will keep it from spreading. I've heard 6 feet apart for the last 4 months. It still spreads. Now they say, wear masks. That will stop it from spreading. No one wants to say what I'm about to say this morning. But I believe it to be a fact. We are facing the judgment of God because we as a nation have turned from God. That's why we're going through this. We have turned our backs as a nation to God. You see, we are a country who have gone through many trials and many crises. There has been numerous times that God has had to put us back on track. But the one thing that stands out about this time, or the times of the past that we've been through crisis, is we knew who to turn to in the past. We turned to God. We've gone through Revolutionary War, Civil War, World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Korea, Desert Storm, Iran, Afghanistan. We have endured 9/11. We've seen the crash of financial markets going through Great Depression. And time again, we've seen recession. And we've always come out the other side because we knew where to turn. The God who created this country. But now, I perceive that this is the first generation in the history of the United States of America that does not know where to turn in a crisis. And because of that, we are where we are. As this virus hit, they first said it's too dangerous to go to church, so churches closed their doors. Victory included. I was instrumental in that decision. If we just close these large meeting places, it will surely get better. It did not get better. We then opened the churches and began to restrict Sunday schools and maintaining social distance. It still did not get any better. People have stayed home from church to prevent the spread of the disease. It did not get any better. Now they tell us if we will wear a mask, it will get better. Beloved, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it will not get any better, especially when on the box of the mask that you read, it says this will not protect you against COVID-19. You see, we're grasping for straws, and I'm not saying support masks, don't support masks. What I'm saying is we as a nation are grasping for straws, looking for something to deliver us from this disease and this crisis we're in, and we don't have the spiritual knowledge enough to know that there is a God in heaven that created this universe that can deliver us from this disease. I believe that our next move as a nation will determine God's next move as the ruler of the universe. My friends, it's time for imminent worship. We're at that point where we have got to turn back to God. But there is a price of worship. David, as he's told, David, you need to go and sacrifice. He's told he's to buy the threshing floor of Ornan, and he goes and he meets this man named Ornan, and he explains that he would like to purchase the threshing floor to build and offer sacrifice to God because of the plague that's going through this nation. And Ornan, being the generous man that he was, he told David, "Take it. It's yours. Just take the threshing floor. I give it to you. And not only do I give you the threshing floor, he said, there's oxen. I have oxen right here on the threshing floor. Take my oxen. Not only do I have oxen, but the instruments, or the implements of the threshing floor. Use those for wood. Offer my oxen for a sacrifice. David, I give it all to you. Wasn't that generous? And David, it won't cost you a thing because I give it free. I give it to you free. Don't you love free things? But I love David's response in verse 24. He told Ornan two things. Number one, he says, I will not take what is yours for the Lord. And number two, I will not offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing. There is worship. Okay? You see, those are the two essential elements of worship. Number one, I will not take what is yours for the Lord. Excuse me. David knew he could not offer God an offering if the offering did not come from him. Okay? Look what David did in verses 25 and 26. David bought the threshing floor. David built the altar. And David offered the sacrifice. So that this entire thing's coming from David himself. It all came from David. And I want to share with you today, if we're going to turn back, if we're going to be a church that is truly honoring God in worship, we're going to have to give of ourselves. It's going to have to come from you as an individual. It's not worship if it does not come from you. I remember as a child, we would go to church on Sunday. My mom and dad would give me a quarter to put in the offering that Sunday. And it was a good thing, teach me to give to the work of the Lord. But every Sunday I'd put that quarter in the offering. But you know what? That wasn't my offering. That was mom and dad's offering. They were teaching me how to give. But you can't teach what to give. It has to come from you. Here's my point. I love Brother Dale. Good man. It's a good job. And he gets up here on Sunday and he leads a wonderful worship service. But Brother Dale's worship is not my worship. Okay? I will not offer to the Lord Brother Dale's worship. I won't do it. Why? Because that's Brother Dale's. But I will sit back here, and as Brother Dale leads me, I will lift my voice in praise to the Lord to honor God and to declare His glory through song. But I will not offer to the Lord what belongs to somebody else. All too often we sit in a song service and never participate. All too often we sit through a song service and half-heartedly participate. Listen, the way I participate in a worship service does reflect how I feel about my God. I will not offer that which does not belong to me. Many are able in this service, many are able financially to give more than I do. And I praise the Lord for your offerings each Sunday. But it would be easy for me to say, well, I don't make as much money as somebody else, so I'm going to let them take care of the offering giving. No! No! I'm going to give my tithes. Why? Because the Lord has blessed me. This came from God, and so I'm going to take what God has given and give that offering and not offer to the Lord what you give. You see? And there are people who think, well, you know, I just don't have enough to give to the church. But these other folks do. No. No. There'll be many people that offer prayers here today. But I will not take the prayers of other people and offer them to the Lord. Why? Because I'm here to pray and to communicate and to fellowship with my God. We have adopted a spectator mentality in churches today where we go to enjoy a worship service instead of to worship in a worship service. That's not what we're here for. We walk away thinking, oh, that was a good service. My question to you is, what did you offer that came from you? David said, I will not take what is yours for the Lord. David said, I will not offer to the Lord that which cost me nothing. Notice David's words. David was not a good haggler. When Ornan said, I'll give it, you take it, it's all yours, man. You know, hey, we got to take care of this. We got to take care of this plague. You just take it all. David said, no. I will buy it at full price. I want to pay the most I can possibly pay for this threshing floor, for your oxen and for your instruments, implements of the threshing floor. And it says, David paid 600 shekels of gold. Do you know how much money that was? If you figured it up in today's gold equivalent, that's $432,000 approximately. And he's not buying 100 acres. He's buying a threshing floor for $432,000. You see, David was not cheap when it came to God. Are you familiar with the phrase, you get what you pay for? Have you ever walked out of a service and say, I didn't get anything out of that? My question is, what did you give? Have you ever walked away from a preacher and said, I didn't get anything out of that message? My question is, what did you give? There are two kinds of people in the Baptist ranks. And I speak of Baptist because that's what I am. They're, number one, there are those that have figured out you can't outgive God. And so they faithfully give. Not only do they give in tithing, but they go beyond that. They support missionaries on top of their tithe. They bless God's men on top of their tithes. And they're just generous toward God and God's work because they figured out you can't outgive God. And so in turn, God blesses them with more to be generous with. That's the first kind of Baptist. The second kind of Baptist, there are those who are concerned with the, do I tithe on the gross or the net? I've been asked that before. Don't ask me that now, because I will not dignify that question with an answer. Actually, I'll tell you how I will respond. I will say, you need to get your heart right about giving before you worry about net or gross. See, David didn't want to offer God that which cost me nothing. He didn't want to get by with what he had to do. There was nothing that he could not... David's attitude here was he could not spend enough for the Lord. He could have got it at half price. I'll tell you what I'll do. You know, let me just go ahead and pay you $200,000 for it. No, David, this is the strangest haggling that you've ever seen. It was going the wrong way. Ornan didn't say, I'll take $500. David said, I'll give you $250. David says, I want to pay as much as I possibly can for it because it's for my God. You see, that's what we've lost in worship today. Giving, having that desire to honor God with the very best that we could possibly honor Him. That's what worship is. That's what sacrifice is. And that's what David did here. That's what I want to challenge you. You know, it's not a sacrifice if you're not giving up something, right? But that's what David did. Which brings us to God's response. It said, David made his offerings and called on the name of the Lord. And guess what happened? God answered from heaven by fire on the altar. Can you imagine? David paid the most he could pay for that threshing floor. And then he broke down the implements and built his fire and slaughtered the oxes and put the oxes on the fire. And it begins to burn. And God responds by fire from heaven that consumes the sacrifice. You see, there was no doubt that God says, good job, David. Good job. You get it. You get it, David. You understand what I'm looking for. And the Lord gave the command to the angel who the whole time has stood there with his arm raised and that sword raised, ready to strike Jerusalem. And the Lord gave the command, put your sword back in the sheath. And that angel drops that sword. Puts it back in the sheath. Isn't that our desire today? That God deliver our nation. Oh, how we need the Lord. Isn't it also our desire to hear from God? Beloved, we need God. And we are told in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. What are you willing to do to bring healing to our country? That's the question I have to ask myself today. What are you willing to do to see God's hand? Are you willing to pray again like you've never prayed before? I'm talking about pouring out your heart to God. We're going to have an invitation in a few minutes. The altar will be open. But I don't care if you come to the altar or just sit down and bow your head where you are and pour your heart out to God. If you leave out of here without talking to God, you have missed a wonderful opportunity. Do you want to see healing enough that you're willing to turn from your sin, your pride, your greed? Do you want to hear enough? Do you want to see God's healing enough that we will forsake our sin and turn to Him? Beloved, I'm not trying to scare anyone. But it could get a lot worse. We think this plague is bad. Just wait until after the rapture and this world is thrust into the tribulation period. Then they're going to know bad. But the church is still here. What are you willing to do? What am I willing to do? Beth sang this morning, we're standing on holy ground. You realize that you are in the presence of Almighty God. And He's waiting to hear your prayer and my prayer. And I believe God's next move depends upon our move. What will you do? Are you here today as a child of God to offer an offering before the Lord? An offering of praise. An offering of submission. An offering of repentance. Maybe you're here today and you have never committed your life to Jesus Christ, and you see where we are as a nation and you see where we're going as a nation. And you realize it's time to come to Jesus. Jesus did all He could do for you when He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary so that you could have eternal life. Now the decision is yours. My friends, when God says, "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, get rid of the pride, turn from their ways, seek my face and pray, I will heal their land." What are we going to do about the plague that is ripping through our country? Our Father in heaven, we need you. And today we come before you to honor you as God. There's none other beside you. Father, our society has turned their back on you. And we, as your children, have grown cold and indifferent. Father, I'm sorry. Today I want to repent. And I pray for the repentance of your church. And that we not be a so-so people, lukewarm, but that we be a people on fire for the glory of God. Lord, I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.